Welcome to the podfic of In the Fullness of the Moon by Lyra Talese, an Our Flag Means Death fanfic read by Little Thingies. This story is rated explicit and no archive warnings apply. This fic was written for Murder Widow's Weekend and features the pairing Mary and Evelyn. Additional tags include alternate universe fairy tale, witches, alcohol, canon typical infidelity, and background Ed Steed. Sex act tags include vaginal fingering, cunnilingus, multiple orgasms, and orgy. You can check out the full tags in the show notes or the archive. This podfic is dedicated to my brother, who is afraid of queer people. I made this in your house. Get fucked. Once upon a time, there was a young woman who had been dragged to the altar by her well-meaning parents. They assured her that it was a good match. He was of good family and had money. She had acreage. They would marry, combine assets, and pass them on to their firstborn son, and all would be as it should be. Everything was not as it should be. 2 miserable years into their marriage, and Mary had just found Steed missing from their home for the 3rd morning this week. Tired of having to guess what might be amiss, she resolved to follow him next time. She watched, concealed behind a tree, as he crept out the front door, throwing a glance back toward the house. She gave him the space of 10 deep breaths before starting silently behind him. He did not hesitate on his way into town, his steps sure, which was how she discovered that her husband was fleeing their home to make eyes at the blacksmith. There was Steed, her fool of a husband, leaning on a wall in the smithy, watching the black-haired man hammer out a hoe, practically drooling. The smith's muscled arms were rather breathtaking. Steed was happily chattering, as he was wont to do, and the blacksmith looked delighted, like Steed was the sun itself, warming his face. His brown eyes were lit with joy as he watched her husband, blonde curls bouncing, expressively tell a story. She had expected to find exactly this, Steed in love, but hadn't imagined him enamored with a blacksmith possessed of glorious hair. It scratched an itch, like finally locating an adding mistake in the household ledgers. She made her way back home, thinking through her choices. She could do nothing. She could do the same as he was. She could kill him. Mary found, when she had a really thorny problem, that it helped to talk it over with a friend. So she continued out of town and into the forest where the wood witch lived. Evelyn's cottage was set away from the village, mostly for access to the bounty of the forest for her herb work, though she also kept a nice garden for the same. The enclosed space was neatly laid out in rows. Evelyn had carefully organized her plantings by sunlight needs and which grew well together. The resultant garden was both useful and rather pretty. Mary opened the gate and found Ned nudging his head against her hip as she tried to close it. "Hello, Ned. Evelyn in?" "Meow." The huge, spotted cat always seemed to understand her, so Mary took his happy mew as a yes. She continued to Evelyn's door and knocked firmly. Evelyn swung the door open and swept her eyes over Mary. "Afternoon, Evelyn. Do you want him to die fast or slow? Or is it already done?" she asked, with a delighted expression. Mary felt her heart throb in her chest with fear or excitement. She couldn't tell which. "How did you know?" "I have my ways. Come on in." She followed Evelyn in, gaze drifting up. Mary had chosen a pair of tall-heeled boots for today, but Evelyn was still more than half a foot taller than her. She was statuesque, lovely, and Mary found herself considering, not for the first time, what her legs looked like under her long burgundy skirts. Evelyn looked over her shoulder at Mary, as if she could read her thoughts, and Mary felt a touch of warmth flushing her chest. She was here to find a solution to her husband problem, not get distracted by wayward thoughts. Evelyn gestured to her guest chair. "Sit down and tell me about it." "I noticed that Steed has been absent a lot, and I followed him, and the blacksmith. Cutie, that one. I can see the appeal." "Not helping, but me too." Mary could feel a smile forming in spite of her concern. Evelyn laughed. "What are you going to do?" Mary gave a deep breath and set her shoulders back. "Do nothing? Allow him to make fools of us both? Kill him? Find out if what's good for the gander is good for the goose?" "You're going to fuck the blacksmith?" Evelyn asked, then snorted. "No, Evie," Mary laughed too. "I don't think I'm his type." She studied Evelyn's blonde hair and dimple. "You might be." "I don't think he'd survive me," Evelyn smirked, and Mary made a wheezy little laugh, cut through with half a sob. Evelyn paused, pondering the situation, perhaps. "We need drinks." She got up from her chair, moving around the cottage, before returning with a bottle and two glasses. "Wine? It's not even two, and aren't you saving that for a special occasion?" "This is it, sweet cheeks. My closest friend finding out her husband is infatuated with the blacksmith? Let's go." Mary blew her brown bangs off her forehead. "Fuck it. Yeah, let's go." Evelyn removed the cork from the bottle and set it on the table. She paused, then said, "I was paid in pie yesterday for a tincture. Why don't we have that too?" Mary watched as Evelyn stood again, moving gracefully around the room to unwrap the pie and dish two servings onto plates. She placed one in front of Mary before filling her glass with wine of a deep red hue. Mary sniffed it appreciatively when Evelyn passed it to her. "Smells wonderful." She took a long sip, then another, yearning to be tipsy, to soften the world's edges for a space. She was tired of restraint, of civility, weary of the constraints of goodness. If Steed didn't have to follow the rules, why should she? She drank again deeply, meeting Evelyn's eyes, and spat out, "It's bullshit, okay, Evie? Bullshit! I did everything I was meant to. Everything!" Mary tipped back the glass, swallowing the rest. She poured herself another, daring Evelyn to naysay it. She didn't, only watched with a smile that was muted but somehow hinted at satisfaction. "That's right, dear. You're starting to get it now." Evelyn sipped her own wine slowly, smile growing even sharper. Mary felt such a hot annoyance that she decided to drain the second glass, too. "Get what? What does that even mean?" "What a lot of us have known for a while." "Us?" "My wonderful circle of widows. Death, if you're a woman, can be freedom. And it doesn't have to be yours, if you know what I mean." "So you're saying I should kill him?" "Eh," Evelyn shrugged. "Doesn't have to be that kind of death. Maybe just symbolic death. Yours, his, both? Paths forward that leave you both free. But eat some fucking pie, huh? Need you conscious." Mary rolled her eyes, annoyed that Evelyn was right. Being petite meant her elbows had gone loose and tingly from the back-to-back glasses of wine. She ate a bit of pie before starting on her third. "What do your widows have to do with it?" "Hmm? Oh, we're witches." "What? All of you? Even little Harriet Coves?" Mary asked, shocked and fascinated in equal measure. "Especially Harriet. She's got a mean hand with a hex." "But she's so sweet." "That's what she wants you to think." Evelyn smirked, her eyes on Mary's face. "You're tipsy enough for honesty, I think. Which is on you, not me. That bottle is empty. Mary grimaced and tilted the bottle. Fuck. Evelyn met her eyes. Tell me, what do you need? What worries you the most? The infidelity? The isolation? Her tone was intense, as if commanding Mary to give the truest answer. It worked. The orgasms. Fuck, she just said that, and it was the truth. Fuck. I've never come with another person, Evelyn. In vino veritas, and she might as well say the rest. Steed, he can't. She finally gave up and did a loose wiggle of her finger to suggest the sad state of her husband's cock. That's why there aren't children. We've never, you know, and he's never offered anything else. A veritable procession of expressions flashed across Evelyn's face. Shock, annoyance, pity, confirmation, amusement, desire. Wait, was that last one desire? If it had been, it was already gone, replaced with determination. That's where I thought we were, said Evelyn with a firm nod. Gonna need you to go ahead and eat the rest of your pie, drink some water, and then have a rest in my bed. Because you're coming with me tonight. Tonight? Mary asked, bleary with the wine she was now very much feeling. She was beginning to regret the impulse that had driven her to drink 3 glasses on an empty stomach. Tonight we dance naked under the full moon, my dear. Mary came to, blanket soft against her chin, dim evening light coming through the window. She felt better than she deserved to, really. She recalled Evelyn pushing a vial to her lips, saying, "It's better than the alternative." Mary had swallowed the strange-tasting liquid, then fuzziness. She pushed the blanket to the side and sat up. The cottage was deserted. Had Evelyn said naked dancing? Perhaps it was time to make her escape. "I wouldn't," Evelyn said from the doorway. "I can understand being nervous, but you're not going to want to miss tonight." "I don't think I'm a witch." "Don't knock it till you've tried it. Also, I think you'll like the other part." "I'm not sure I can..." Mary flushed, imagining taking off her dress in front of the other women. "You don't undress there. You do it here," Evelyn stated. "How?" Mary screeched. "That's eerie." "Traded my eye for Eldritch powers." Mary stared at the eye patch that covered her friend's right eye. It had never seemed polite to ask, but surely not. "Yes, really." "Damn, Evie, okay." "It's useful. Take off your dress. You can argue, but I assure you, we both know that you want to. Go ahead and save us some time." Being around someone with supernatural perception was vexing. In truth, she did want to take off her dress. Right here, right now, in front of Evelyn. Evelyn, belying that she knew everything, turned her back after handing Mary a dark cloak made of a soft fabric. "Take off everything. You have to be completely nude to honor the goddess tonight." Mary placed the cloak on the bed in front of her, and then began pulling open the various ties holding her dress in place. She removed it piece by piece, methodically stripping away the uniform of her class and status. She had to admit that it felt good to discard the clothing that had bound her in place. Then she hit a knot at her back, out of reach, and gave a hiss of frustration. "Allow me," Evelyn said lowly, reaching for it and picking it loose. Mary could feel the tug against her skin where the tie was attached, and imagined Evelyn's hand there instead. She breathed out slowly, and Evelyn dropped the now loose tie, leaving Mary again to her own devices. When Mary was left in nothing but her stockings, she paused and asked, "What about my boots?" "Barefoot. Like I said, nothing before her." "Sure, sounds reasonable," Mary said tensely, pulling off one stocking and then the other, suddenly appreciating how infrequently she found herself in this natural state. She picked up the cloak, draped it over her shoulders, and then secured the clasp. Once she was covered again, she turned to find that Evelyn had completed the same task with less struggle, noise, and time. Evelyn's hair, which was normally tucked into an elaborate updo, was long and loose around her shoulders. Evelyn reached behind Mary and pulled out the large pin securing her bun, before plucking out half a dozen smaller pins that kept her hair neatly pinned back. "Nothing before her," Evelyn repeated. She took Mary's left hand, caressing gently over her skin, and slid her wedding ring off. "Perfect," she said, dropping it into a pouch and placing it with the rest of Mary's things. "Now you're prepared." She slid the handle of a basket over her arm and gestured that Mary should follow her out of the cottage. They left through the back gate, taking the trail into the woods. Mary had expected the path to be a hazard of rocks and twigs, sure to dig into her tender exposed feet, but found smoothness instead. "A gift from her," Evelyn said, her voice warm and amused. It was magic, and Mary determined that she would give herself to this experience. They walked in silence, the moon still rising in the sky. After several minutes, Mary startled at a flash of movement. She blinked her eyes, and the vision resolved into an older man, completely nude, partially bald with his long hair around his shoulders. "So you have, man witches?" she asked cautiously. "Oh, no, he's not one of us. Well, not of our coven. Druid, that one. Full moon's important to him, too." She nodded respectfully in the man's direction, and he nodded solemnly back. Evelyn grinned. "We're two clearings past. Like to give each other space for the moonglow basking." "Live and let live, I guess," Mary said, while following Evelyn deeper into the woods. It felt as if they'd been walking a long time, but all at once they were there, standing at the edge of a break in the trees. The rest of the widows, witches, were gathered in the clearing. They'd lit a fire at its center and were loosely circled around it. She marked the faces. There was Harriet Coves and Ellen Conroy and... She dropped her eyes shut, feeling her resolve shaken. Here she was, Starkers under her silly, heavy cloak. They would expect her to remove it, to be in some sort of ceremony, to dance? Wait, was that dance or something else? "Something else," Evelyn answered. "Still eerie. Mary, how long have we known each other?" 2 years, since I came here after the wedding." She kept her breath even. "Have I ever done anything to hurt or misguide you?" "No, no, of course you haven't. You've been funny and kind and dear." Mary stopped, and Evelyn just watched her. "You won't hurt me." "No. If I thought you weren't ready, you wouldn't be here. Have some trust?" "Evie, I..." Mary looked away from Evelyn, her eyes catching on Ellen. She'd discarded her robe by the fire, and her entire body was now visible. Her lovely, full breasts tipped with hardened nipples. Mary jerked her eyes back to Evelyn. "This wasn't what I had in mind?" "No?" Evelyn's tone was knowing, as if she knew exactly what Mary had in mind. Perhaps she did, too, and this was her way of forcing Mary to ask for it, directly. Mary watched as one of the other widows met Ellen with a lingering kiss, her hand bracing the soft flesh of her chest, a thumb rubbing over the nipple, and her other hand trailing lower, lingering at the juncture of Ellen's legs. Mary suddenly found that she was extremely overwarm, like her entire body was on fire. She could feel sweat trickling from her armpits in the robe Evelyn had lent her. "I want..." She could barely make the words come, mouth gone dry. "I want that." Ellen's head was tossed back, and she was moaning with her mouth open, her eyes shut in pleasure as she writhed against the hand working between her thighs, leaning back against a third woman who was kissing her neck. Mary snapped her eyes back to Evelyn, resolved. This was no time for cowardice or waffling. "I want that. With you." "Thought you'd never ask. Want to do it here or in private?" "Here. Now. I want to come. I want you to be the one to make me feel like that." Putting action to her resolve, Mary reached up and opened the closure on the cloak, feeling it slide off her shoulders, down her back, to pool on the ground, exposing her bare body beneath. "Sure thing, I'm just going to..." Evelyn dropped her own cloak. Mary was not prepared. Evelyn was gorgeous. Mary had suspected, had envisioned some things from the way her dresses fit, but her exposed breasts were perfect. They were fucking perfect, and Evie's legs were everything Mary had dreamed and more. She didn't consider what she would do next, thinking discarded as surely as the cloak now pooled at Evelyn's feet. Mary reached out and stroked the soft skin of Evelyn's hip. "You're..." She caressed the spot again. "You're more beautiful than I could have imagined." "Imagined this, huh?" "Yes, okay." "Me too." Evelyn tugged Mary in and brought their bodies closer together, tilting Mary's chin up and angling her head down so that she could meet Mary's lips. It turned out it was not at all like kissing Steed, who always seemed to be somewhere else entirely when forced to touch Mary. She was entirely present, and she was kissing Mary with intent, with passion, with need. Her lips were moving, pleading, telling Mary with every movement that Evelyn wanted more. Mary gasped, and the kiss was now open-mouthed and scorching. She had never felt anything like this. She had known instinctually that she and Steed weren't getting it right, but hadn't understood the magnitude. Now, as Evelyn's tongue dipped in against her lower lip, she knew. They would never be suited. She could feel need building between her own thighs, intense and demanding. She broke the kiss, pulling back as her breath panted out. "Fuck. Fuck, what the fuck is that?" "Desire. You want more, and I'll give it to you if you ask." Evelyn's voice was low, serious, inviting. She was holding out an offer of what Mary had said she wanted, and giving her the chance to choose it or reject it. Her face was free of judgment, open and waiting. "Yes, Evie." She was momentarily pulled out of the bubble between them by the sounds of moaning around them. She barked an involuntary laugh. "Do you always celebrate the full moon this way?" "I told you we danced. Let me show you?" Mary nodded. "Yes." Then Evelyn was again bringing their bodies in close, this time nestling Mary against her, facing out. She leaned down to kiss over her neck, bringing one hand to rest at her hip, the other at the base of her throat. Mary felt a trail of sparks as Evelyn dragged that hand lower, thumb rubbing over Mary's collarbone and moving in to gently press into the dip at the center. Then she was gliding it between Mary's breasts, only incidentally touching them as she continued downward. Evelyn trailed open-mouthed kisses on Mary's neck, and Mary was making sounds she could not have dreamed could come out of her. They only intensified when Evelyn slid under the curve of Mary's breast then, slowly, slowly circled her nipple, not quite touching yet. "Evie?" she asked. Making sure, she said softly. Very sure. Good. Evelyn moved inward, thumb teasing over Mary, just gentle brushes, until Mary, frustrated, pushed into the touch. Evelyn laughed richly, moving to cup Mary's breast, fingers positioned to tug Mary's nipple. Oh, God! Mary moaned and could feel sudden wetness between her legs. Goddess, Evelyn corrected, continuing to tweak Mary's nipple as her other hand moved inward, first tugging against Mary's hip bone to pull her ass flush against Evelyn's body, and then slipping down to rub over Mary's inner thigh. Mary could feel Evelyn's thumb grazing the soft skin at the crease of her thigh, fingers gripping her in place. Do you want me to touch you? Evelyn asked, and Mary had to bury the desire to shout, to beg, to cry at the obviousness of the answer. Please. It was plea and invitation all at once, and Mary was still not prepared when Evelyn moved her hand in and stroked down, separating her folds, gathering the wetness there, and pressing in against her clit. Evelyn's movements were deft and sure, her fingers drawing out pleasure in a way that Mary hadn't believed was possible. She never felt anything so swift and sure in her cautious explorations alone. Evelyn said in a firm tone, I want you to bring your hand up and take your other nipple. Mary did so and felt the pleasure rise even higher, 3 points of pleasure, 4, as Evelyn resumed licking and sucking over her neck. She could feel the tide of it building, each graze of Evelyn's finger against her clit bringing her closer. Evie. Evie. She'd meant to ask something, but couldn't remember what, and then she was cresting over, shuddering against Evelyn's hands, her own as she came. Evelyn held their bodies together for moments longer, and then, kicking a cloak out open, helped Mary lower onto it. Evie, that was... We're not done, sweet cheeks. What? Mary asked. That one was just a little one. They build if you keep going. If I... Evelyn raised an eyebrow and smirked. I'm going to give you just a minute, and then we're starting again. She shrugged. If you want. More? Mary said, entirely at a loss. More, Evelyn confirmed. Oh, yes. Mary nodded, too intently, but helpless in her need to communicate how much she wanted it. Evelyn flattened the second cloak more smoothly than she managed the first, and helped Mary lie flat on her back. Mary was craning her neck to watch Evelyn as she adjusted Mary's hips and spread her legs. I don't know how you're going to... And then Evelyn's head was between her thighs, and she pieced it together. Mary had thought that Evelyn was overstating it, perhaps, based on her experience to date. But then she came again, and a third time. By the fourth time, she was muffling her screams into the first cloak, back arched, toes curling, and entire body shaking. She thought perhaps she couldn't go further, and then it was like a tether snapped, and she was flung loose, outside of her body, her pleasure so intense that she ceased thinking entirely, simply feeling. She collapsed, and she could hear Evelyn beside her, laughing with joy. If that's how it's supposed to feel, what the fuck have I been doing? Mary asked. Wasting time, which I am going to make up for entirely. Then Evelyn smacked her playfully on the ass. Now get dressed. We have a goddess to thank. Much later, when they had cleaned up and done the ritual honoring the goddess in the light of the fully risen moon, they made their way back to Mary's house. Mary pushed through the heavy front door, noticing that there was still light shining through the stained glass panels, in spite of the late hour. She looked to the right, into the dining room, and snickered. Her husband had the blacksmith pressed beard first into the long, elegant table, pants around his ankles. There was cutlery scattered all over the floor, apparently having jumbled from their place settings during the action. "Oh, look, Evie, it does work," Mary giggled helplessly. "Looks like the blacksmith also takes a good pounding." "Ed," said Steed. "What?" "His name is Ed." "That's lovely, darling. Gonna go to my room and bury my face in Evie's cunt. Let's do catch up later." Evelyn responded to this exchange by sweeping Mary up and slinging her over one shoulder to carry her across the room. Mary laughed breathlessly before gasping out, "You silly bitch, I think I love you." "As if I don't know that." "Really? I've been waiting for you to notice. Turns out that, like your husband, you just need time to take what you want. And I am very much looking forward to you taking it." The end. This has been In the Fullness of the Moon by Lyra Talese, read for you by Little Thingies. Please return to the archive to tell the author how much you love this story, and I also treasure any comments on the podfic. Thank you for listening. On to the next.